Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post show for what I still think is episode 25 of Far Verona. Before my iPad, on which I have my notes for the episode, runs out of batteries, let me give out experience. So let's see. Booker, solve the case of the dead serpents. Still working on it. Nomi, make contact with the Immortal Association. Got sidetracked by assassins. Gabriel, prevent harm from coming to the squad.
You might have brought harm on us. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I'm about to be harmed.
You're about to be harmed.
We don't know that. We don't know that for sure.
And Bicky, you have not ascertained if the corpse is a message or not, I don't think.
Congrats.
Oh, it's definitely a message. Yeah. Oh, we know, because we know it was placed in the post-mortem.
I think that's reasonable, actually. It's not, you didn't say what is the message. You just want to make sure that it was one.
And I know who the person is, the name. I know that they're important.
Ooh. I think if you could confirm, because solving a murder case means finding out who did the murder, which you haven't done yet.
Damn phrasing always jipping me out of my goals.
Max, if I'm not getting XP, you ain't getting XP.
You can't blame me for trying. Come on.
No, I can't. You're right. I respect you for trying.
You know what, though? Yeah. It means I don't have to think of a goal next session.
That's so. Right. Well, the thing is, the goal's like, the you don't have victory. To get it every single time. And sometimes the circumstances just don't lead there.
Unless you're Dan's gaming, like, in which case he gets it every time.
Yeah. Well, Dan is hacks at this. I think this episode felt like the most kind of Far Verona-y that we've done in a while. I really liked it. I feel like we got some like synth stuff. We got to do some noble things. We got to meet a bunch of like characters of varying types. And I feel like the pacing was pretty good. I feel pretty happy with how that episode
went. A lot of referencing too by the characters of different factions. Like it felt like the characters felt like they were a part of the universe, especially in this episode.
Yeah. And I like that. I felt really good about that. Yeah. That was nice. Yeah, and it was it's cool seeing the characters put in a position. I like kind of how we made, and you guys have done a really good job of this, is making the assassination thing not like we're solving this assassination just because it's in front of us, but like we're going to solve this guy getting murdered because we don't want that to happen to Nomi. Like, I thought that was quite cool. I'm really happy with that.
We don't want that to happen to Nomi.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, I thought it was funny that chat was like, oh, they forgot all about the mission as soon as they found this dead body. And I'm like, they know there's this mission, but there's priorities, yo. Like, you got stuff to work out. Yeah.
And I mean, like, as far as messages go, connected. That's like a pretty scary one, because like a dead serpent's is kind of like almost like a stand-in for like, this could be you, because she belongs to that house. And then the fact that it showed up on our doorstep, it's like, I know where you are. So that's not some, like, for us to be like, well, let's put that aside and continue on finding an appropriate candidate to recommend. Like, that would be silly, because this is very much like we said, like the mafia horse head in the bed. Like, we know where you are. We're watching you. And for us to ignore that would be like,
be dumb.
Foolish?
To be like, I'm sure that wasn't for us and important. Let's move on.
Like, yeah. Makes no sense. Or like, oh, let's handle this later. Like, if we leave it for later, we're not going to have the, like, these people already have the jump on us. They already are, like, they already have the better ground or whatever. So if we waited, that would not, we got to get the jump on them.
Yeah. It would not bode well for us. Because then we'd be in mission and then all of a sudden just, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. and that's the thing, is like, for me, if I wanted you to stay on mission, I just would have kept making the mission interesting. Like, I'm not the kind of GM where I'll be like, here is the thing you need to do, and then be like, here's a bunch of other shit that's like trying to distract you from that thing just to fuck with you. Like, the reason that I put this guy in front of you is to show you that it's like, you have your mission, and then you have like the viscerally important shit that's right in front of you. There's like other things going on. And it was like, just to watch where you guys go. It's not like I'm going to come back and be like, oh, well, the timer on the main quest ran out. Like, it's still, the bureaucracy takes forever. And so it's still happening. So you've got time and you can certainly explore this. And I think it brings us back around to kind of the stuff from the very beginning of, like, you know, there's this species of hostile non-humans that is trying to, like, you know, get their revenge or, you know, live their lives or whatever against you guys. So it's cool getting the opportunity to kind of put that up there. So, yeah, I quite liked it. Lots of new NPCs this episode, like, and people who, just like good NPCs do, they illustrated something about the characters we already know, right? Like, I feel like all of you got to interact with somebody who showed us something about either your character's faction or your character themselves, which was quite cool. Even if some of us got a 3 on our connect roll, I didn't want to just be like, you don't find anyone appropriate.
No, of course, yeah, no, it was absolutely, like, you're still gonna give the NPC still exists, but it just doesn't go well. It's very unfavorable circumstance.
I love rules that codify and allow players to do stuff like that. I think it's so great. Yeah, I'm feeling it. So yeah, let's talk about those NPCs. Why don't you, Bronze, talk about this weird cowboy dude. How do you feel about that character? You want to bring him back? You can go talk to him again.
Oh yeah, I love him because this is like part of the benefit, which is funny because you were talking about this on Twitter. This is part of the benefit of like coming into it and kind of like molding it as I go. And my character has some backstory, but I've kept it pretty broad until I find something that I as a player find interesting. And then I will figure out a way to have my character be invested in it as well so that I can pull that thread. And so this NPC that was funny, we just kind of created it together, is kind of cool because it softens up the sort of grizzled merc that is, you know, Bicky Tip. We now see that she's got like this sort of slightly soft, gushy side, but you know, there's like only 3 people that get to see that. We kind of get to see like an inside of her world and the people that she works with and what they're like, and also what happens to the ones that don't go her route. Like, it's kind of cool to see like what her life would have been if, you know, something unfortunate like that had happened to her, or if she had ducked out early.
I like the way that character kind of just developed out of like you and I just throwing a couple of sentences back and forth. Like, I was like, okay, like a mercenary guy that can help you, that's fine. And then you were like, yeah, but he can't fight anymore, and so he does this. And I was like, oh yeah, probably because of like nerve damage. And we kind of like built this guy up like real quick.
Yeah.
I think that's something that's really fun to do at the table is give your, as a GM, like give your players the ability to make those things so that that you can do that back and forth, because one person just creating something alone is, I think, a lot harder to do than just like giving a little bit of that up and going back and forth and adding your own stuff.
Because that's literally what happened. I was just passing the ball back and forth of like, oh, well, he's not with the Deathless now. And then my brain was immediately like, well, I want there to be like an interesting reason why he's not with them anymore. Maybe there's like some physical limitation there. And he's like, he's awesomely developed into like this like dude that kind of wistfully looks at his past. And even as, even at like the Tip, looks at her and thinks of like, I could have had that. And then in some ways, maybe she looks at him and thinks of like, and I could have had that.
Yeah. And that's the question. I love the parallel because Bicky had that, but Booker did too, right? Like Booker's character was a fracture point where it was like the two of you both were like, we're going to go out into the world and do things. And these are the people who stayed behind for whatever reason. And it was a choice on the part of Salami Ricola or whatever her name
see?
Is.
See?
I know her actual name. It's a callback to how you guys.
I know.
But yeah, this idea of like the two of you were the going away ones, and then these are versions of you that stuck around and did a different path. And I think that's always cool to get to experience. And I kind of like that. I thought that interaction was neat, like with Booker and like kind of seeing this grizzled dude and be like, yeah, okay, cool. Like it's a little reaffirming maybe. What did Booker think of that guy? Like, what were you thinking about as a player? Like when we were going through that?
Probably saw a lot of himself, obviously, in that guy. Yeah, no, he was kind of just kindred spirit. So he was like, this is good. I like this booze and steak. I'm cool chilling here. It was also a good moment for, I guess, somebody that Bicky, you know, respects to be like, This guy's all right. See, he doesn't put up with your shit. That was a good one. I like that. That way, you know.
Yeah, I think it's cool too. There's this sort of transitive property of understanding where you can learn about a person based on what they care about, right? Mm-hmm. So you're kind of like, oh, this guy is someone you think is like a cool friend. And if Booker feels like, oh, I'm kind of like this guy, then by extension, that kind of brings Bicky and Booker a little closer together, mm-hmm. right? To be like, oh, I see some of myself in.
We've talked about that before. Bronze. Yeah,
that's also kind of why I like her character. Yeah, yeah. That's kind of why I like mm-hmm. Bicky. Kind of is like out of everybody, even though as a player, I fuck with Mark the most. I'm sorry, Mark. I love you. But in character, I feel like my character fucks with Booker the most. But in some ways, that's her like testing to see like or like figuring him out where he sits, and so like. She can figure out how to joke with him or trying to find a common ground, but her way of like breaking that ice is a very shitty sort of gruff merc way of flipping him shit. Cause that's what they do. And I kind of like that. My old buddy is kind of like that too. We just kind of flip each other shit. And it's like a nice way of like, it kind of shows that she does that with everybody.
Mm. Yeah. 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 Cool. Yeah. I liked it. And I think that it was neat too, getting to see like Nomi's response to that person. And like, because you to like let a bodyguard like Bicky like operate, you kind of have to just trust them. I thought it was neat that Nomi was like, okay, yeah, like I do. What were you thinking during that bit, Anne, about like this character? Were you waiting for me to be like, haha, he betrays you? Or like, yeah, where was your head at for Nomi?
Yeah, I think just I genuinely feel like if Bicky wanted to have killed me, she could have done it probably at any point along the way. So there's like not really any reason for Nomi to be suspicious. And so if she's saying like this person is trustworthy, or at least this person is not out to kill us, then we kind of have not a lot of options, right? Like I came here to do this investigation and then we were immediately... like people just knew where we were instantly. So I just kind of feel like our options are pretty limited right now. And so it's like, we have to start somewhere. And if this guy wants to kill me, then like, I mean, there's not a lot like, I can I'll do about it anyways. That. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This sort of pragmatism of like, okay, well we're here and this is the option we have. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. No, that's cool. And the sort of like unfuck with ability of Nomi to just be like, yeah, things are, we are where we are and it's desperate, but I'm not going to freak out about it. I'm just going to deal with it as it comes. Yeah, that's cool. Because I was curious about that. And I'm curious to see kind of what that, you were thinking for that. That's really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. And Mark, you got a little look into, again, same thing. Like that's the emergent theme. Like we're going to meet people who lived a different life than we did. And I didn't even like, it didn't even occur to me until we started doing the post show that I was like, yeah, all three of the NPCs that we introduced were like that. I liked playing her because I knew that you had failed the role and you knew, and we were both just like waiting for the hammer to come down. I was just like, all right, how can I use that three? And there's so many different ways to do it, right? And I got to use one of my favorite tricks, which is the player's character leaves, but the camera stays with the bad guy, and we get to see something the character wouldn't know. Which definitely can lead to that moment of like, damn it, now I know, but like my character doesn't. So it's a trust exercise when I do that, because I'm like, I'm challenging you to play as players, knowing that you know something that your character doesn't.
And it's like, I think it's part of me, maybe because of the theater background, and whenever I used to play RPGs, you know, before I just got cursed with being a DM all the time, is I'm always a very high charisma player. So I like doing tour. I like trying to be convincing with my words. And so, and even though I know it's not necessarily going to affect the role, I still try and play the character that way. Like Gabriel genuinely is sorry. And he does kind of look back on his past and is beginning to doubt like, oh, was I doing the right things? Maybe she was right kind of thing. But ultimately that character's made their mind up about Gabriel is like, no, something else is going on. It doesn't matter what you say. This is the result of how things are going to go. And, you know, that's the way it runs.
It's funny regarding the like theater background, like charismatic character thing. We have the same thing in Zeke is like that. Zeke is that in Court of Swords. where he struggles a little bit, I think, internally with like playing a character who's not very charismatic, but being like, well, I guess I'm just going to talk for the party because he likes being in that role as a player. And so it's an interesting challenge, and you're definitely not the only one that has that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's more of a case of like, it's just that acceptance of like, bad role, got to still play this out the way I was going to play it. And then you're the one who's like, sadly, it still just doesn't have the effect that you're looking for, kind of thing. Like, she must have a reason that she's not swayed. And I guess we'll find out what that is the road.
And what I try to do with these connect roles sometimes too is like, if you fail, I give you what you want, but I don't tell you the ways in which it's poisoned. Right. Where like, she's going to look into this and like find out, but also she's got other people she's loyal to, and that might be bad for you. And also another trick that I like to use for Stars of the Number or for any game that allows you to like conjure NPCs, but there's a role involved, is the person is helpful and willing, but incompetent in some way and just gets in your way. Right. Where they're like, I am totally going to help you. And then they go to the wrong person, or they do totally just the wrong fucking thing. And you're like, I came to you for help, and now my house is on fire. Like, what are you doing? And they're like,
you've made
I'm
it
helping.
So much worse. Yeah, exactly. No, it's really good. Yeah. And it's always nice to play. I like doing, you know, I'm one of those players that likes playing the emotive moments and likes, you know, when people have those like, you know, tense, you know, conversations or those heartfelt conversations. Like, I loved it when like Nomi got mad, like, you know, Gabriel saying something which he's just like, hey, we don't know, that he could be like, that's something that everybody thinks, right? And it's like, fucking no, it's like, I love that stuff.
It was
I love that stuff.
It was a rare moment, one, where Nomi showed emotion, and two, Booker was like, hey, detective mode, let's stay clear-headed here.
Like Booker had to be the calm,
the voice,
you know,
of, yeah, the voice of reason,
one.
Kind of. But it made sense for him too, to be like, listen, I know you're feeling strongly about this, makes sense, but it could be a thing we should consider, you know, at least.
It was cool, and it's a good setup. Like, I think if y'all are interested in it, we can set aside the comptroller thing for a few episodes and do the kind of murder mystery thing, because I think that's like more pressing.
Let's say all the candidates died of food poisoning or something, whatever.
Well, they'll still be jockeying for position in the background, and certainly that can be something that can come up, but we can main focus on this and then go into that once things are safer. But also there's some places in which they might be connected. So exactly. So let's do that, because I'm digging.
Let's also
it.
Do a like a Sherlock Holmes in one shot, shall we?
You just want to use the voice. That's okay.
Hey, Maximilian. Do you wish to do a bit of a detective-y man?
Fancy, you know what? That can be a two-player one-shot that I don't have to be involved in. So somebody else wants to volunteer to let these two chuckle fucks do that for 4 hours.
It's not even going to be a game. It's just going to be me and Mark for like hours just doing improv back and forth.
Doing
just start a true crime podcast, but do it in those voices.
Yeah.
It'll be gold. Everyone will love it.
1936 in London.
Very good. Yeah, perfect. I love
Interior. We see a tea kettle pouring hot piping tea into some fine china.
Perfect.
Love it.
Well, we got a fallback, Mark. Yeah. We got it.
Yeah, got it, man.
Good. All right. Well, when Mark's character gets shot and dies next session, then you know you have a backup in case that's it for you.
I always have a backup, Adam Coble. Always have a backup.
That's a smart move. That's a good call.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Thanks. Thanks for helping me make the cool NPCs and for playing Far Verona with me, everybody. I missed it, and I'm happy that we were back playing. And I think that's it. I think that's it for this week. Unless anybody has any other thoughts, I think we'll wrap it up.
Nice.
All right. Cool. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see all of you next time for more Far Verona. And patrons, as always, thank you for your patronage and for checking out the videos. We'll keep them coming as long as you keep paying for them. So, see everybody next time. Bye, y'all.